Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, listeners. Welcome back to Coaching Conversations. This is your host and life coach, Sean Schakowsky, and I am here with both Money Visco. Hi, Money.
Hello.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Awesome. Thank you. And we also have August back. How are you?
Yay.
Austin.
Doing very well. Good to be back. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Austin, it's so good to have you. It's been a little bit.
Appreciate
but
that.
We've been thinking of you. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
How you been?
I'm doing very well.
Okay. And today we are all here to talk about stress and specifically about work stress. And I'm sure we'll kind of branch off, but the title of it is Your Job Making You Sick, Work Stress. So we're going to dive in about the different dynamics of what, as coaches, what we see out there, maybe shed some insight to help folks live a well and peaceful life. You guys up for the topic?
Yes.
Okay, before we get rolling, I just want all our listeners to know that you can reach any of us, or all of us, through our website, which is wnylifecoaching.com. And you can also reach us through the phone at 716-560-6552. On the website, too, we have all sorts of services and classes and bios that tell you a little bit about what we all specialize in. So where do we begin, guys, when I bring up workplace stress? What do you think our listeners think about when they hear that, or what do you think is out there? Let's start there. When we bring up workplace stress, I can give you my insight, but let's see what you guys have.
Yeah, mine's a little bit different because working from home has a different set of dynamics, but there can still be a lot of stress related to it. It's still customer service and working with people.
Gotcha. Amani, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I also have, you know, I'm my self-employed, and when I worked, even as an attorney, I worked from home for about 3 years, and I could feel it was really nice to work at home, but, you know, occasionally we'd have to go into the office, and whenever I went in there, I could feel the tension in the office. And I always thought to myself, oh, thank God I don't have to come here every day, because I think you could feel the energy of it, you know, just being, because everyone just was, like, maxed out. Like, I think there's too much work, not enough time. That's probably one of the big issues. And maybe, like, the unrealistic expectations also, because people are cutting back, so that people are getting more work and not more money. More responsibility without the pay, and also maybe some, you know, difficulties with people at work might be another big stressor. So I think there's a lot of things that can cause stress. I mean, you spend most, you know, people who go to work every day, they spend more time with there than they do probably with their own families. So you can see why that's a big cause of stress, you know, for people.
Excellent. Well, I know, where I was inspired is, you know, I do some off-site work, and my husband and just a lot of the clients that, you know, I coach stress, and that's a big part of my practice. But I think, Money, you and I had that conversation. I said, you know, out there, it is a hard formula. I've seen a lot of hard formulas out there, and that's where it really wanted me to shed some awareness, let folks know that we're going to give some tips on how to, you know, I think feel in control in your workplace, which is important. They'll talk about that. Also recognizing when it gets to a point that it's very unhealthy. I was inspired by it, too. I was doing rounds, and I had a fellow that was made a workstation where, you know, usually he sits, but that he created it with copy paper. He raised his computer, and he was standing all day, and I talked to him. He's like, yep. He's like, I'm not going to have this place kill me. He's like, I'm not going to die working. And I just thought that was so awesome and very inspiring there, which I'm going to come back to what we can do. But with that, I've seen some clients, too, that had some awareness and actually changed their health by changing their lifestyle, which sometimes had to change because of their work choices. So it's very important that I think we talk about this because it is – and especially in this day and age, there is such an expectation. We're so connected. The roles of, you know, and even some of our lifestyle choices, which I want to talk to, has just really propelled people to be immersed in their jobs. I'm not saying that's wrong or incorrect, but I think there is a work-life balance, which is really important and key because of health. And when you're sometimes, they say there is a link between bad jobs, stress, with physical ailments, and how that can really deteriorate your health. So, guys, any thoughts on that, or shall we move along here? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had an interesting experience this summer, and I knew, you know, being a coach, I know the signs, I know the red lights, I know the signals, I know the mm-hmm. precursors to what's coming, and as much as I know, I was still allowing the job to kind of consume me, and I went to bed one night, and I started getting a pain in my left shoulder. And by 1:30 in the morning, it was bad enough, I went to the ER. And by 2 o'clock, it was just virtually unbearable. And they gave me some shots. And, of course, they did a chest x-ray and EKG and pressure. Everything looked fine. But this pain was, it just felt like someone had put a crowbar between my shoulder and my socket and was just prying out on it. And it was just really bad. So I went back, I went home same night, and I got up the next morning, and my wife had called my boss and said he's not going to be working for the next 2 days. So the very next week, I worked until Friday. Well, Thursday, I didn't feel very good. Friday, I felt pretty rough, but I thought I could make it through the day, which I did. So I went to bed at 5 o'clock. As soon as I punched out, I went to bed. I didn't get out of bed for 3 weeks. I ended up with 2 strains of the flu, both the A strain and the B strain, which turned into walking pneumonia. And it was all stress related. You know, if we get to a point where we get worn down, and it's like my doctor and I talk a lot. She's been my doctor for 19 years. And it's like if someone pokes you in the chest every 10 seconds for a little while, it, you know, might get annoying. But if they keep doing that over and over and over and over and over, you just hit a break point. And, you know, we don't walk away from it basically out of fear. And fear is another source of stress. And it just snowballs, you know, and pretty soon our life is being controlled by circumstance and by other people. And it's just really important to understand that there comes a point where it's just not worth it anymore.
I love that you said that, because you have to know your limit. Can I extend off this? What we're saying is that, you know, necessarily stress isn't bad if you can manage it. But knowing that when stress exceeds our ability to cope, it stops being helpful and it can start causing damage to your mind and body, as well, obviously, your job. I mean, that's secondary.
Yes.
And, you know, what I see, too, which I wanted to share, is that sometimes people are so unconscious of it, that there's an unconscious stress that's going on, you know, where we wanted to shift people, you know, and it does sometimes come manifest itself consciously, but again, we don't make the correlation. They're saying some of the warning signs of stress, that, you know, excessive stress is like that muscle tension. I see people who throw their backs out, because I do wellness coaching. I'm like, okay, let's look at your stress levels, stomach problems, fatigue, trouble concentrating, irritability. Most people just write those off as, you know, because we're just on autopilot in forward motion, but I'm like, no, you're not understanding that there's signals going out that pay attention, because when these go on, like it sounds as if such as you, that then your body will make you slow down, or it can be to the point
literally
where it's very unhealthy. I had a woman, she was telling me she switched jobs, and she was talking about stress, and I want to share her wisdom, because she said, you know, people tell you to manage stress, but she was in a job that to the point it was unmanageable. So she decided, she said, either I stayed and, you know, ended up medicating and having ailments, or she said, I did something about it and I left the job. I'm not saying everyone leave their job, but what was very profound for when I heard that is there is a sense of choices and sense of there needs to be an awareness, because I do think we tend to be on overdrive quite a bit, or there is a norm to encourage overdrive. There are many of the factors that cause a lot of, you know, work gets stressed, and that we want to shed this awareness so we can check is, you know, low salaries, fear of layoffs, you know, overtime, high expectations. When that balance is off, if we're not conscious, then we can internalize a lot of it. Anybody have any thoughts?
It's just so true.
Yeah. I mean, but it's great that she could leave it, because I think the first thing, you know, when you're in a stressful situation, a distress tolerance, the first thing that they, you know, would be the best to do would be to eliminate the stressor, change the situation. Not everybody can do that, but that is the first.
Exactly.
I think that's the first thing to look at. Like, is there something I can do to change the situation? And then, you know, more times than not, probably you can't, but then you can do other things to reduce the stress if you can't quit your job, which many people cannot.
And I had another friend that told me, and I want to go there because we're not necessarily, we're going to give you ideas of not to get to that point, you know, I think is really what we want to do. Keeping an awareness of self-importance, okay? And I want to share another article that I want to draw in here too, but my girlfriend too, she went to the doctor, was saying, oh, my job is so stressful, da, da, da. And the doctor said, well, what are you going to do about it? And that was very empowering for my friend. Like, it was like, instead of enabling that, you know, she took that as like, wow, I do have the choice. And money, we're very strong in coaching that what they're saying too is there's ways of being able to manage within hard formulas that can best serve you. When it comes to, you know, I think you and I talk about, you know, trying to control your environment. Sometimes you can control it as much as you can, but what you can choose to do is how you react to that environment. There's always that choice, that personal power choice. And when I do health and wellness coaching, which when I talk to some people, you know, they think of health and eating well as part of like, oh, losing weight. I'm like, you don't understand the enrichment you get when you can take control of your life and start exercising and eating well, that how, you know, that'll help manage stress and how you can navigate and strengthen and feel strong in some of these, you know, these situations where you're being called to kind of be in a bit of a stressor situation.
Yes.
So what are some ideas? Let's go there. Let's help some folks. You know, I think we did the highest case scenario, which we probably should have worked up to that. But I think talking about this is just really strong, and just how, even for myself, I was working and I was carrying too much hours. And I knew it was I could feel it, you know, in me, and I knew that there was, you know, I was stressing my system, and I did my best to make sure I took care of myself so that stress doesn't start to knock my body and my well-being. I mean, really, it's well-being.
Yes.
And, you know, when I released some of the hours, I was like, woo, I didn't realize, you know. And I had an article, and I just posted it on LinkedIn, and I'll share this, and I'll let you guys take the floor. But what the article was about, it was about actually people, regrets of people who are dying. And they had five regrets, and I think, like, the first one was to, you know, some people in their final hours and looking back, that they often, she says, they often take our lives for granted because we're healthy. And sometimes when our health declines, is then there's a different perspective. But so with that, this wisdom I'd love to share so people can maybe take it and, you know, pull from it. But they were saying, again, some of the five regrets, but I want to tell you the second one. But the first one was, you know, people regret at their final hours not pursuing their dreams and aspirations because they were following a life that they thought others should expect them to follow. And then the second one, you know, was they wish they didn't work so hard. I thought that was that lives can be overtaken by work, making a living, and pursuing a career, that we're not diminishing that. The role is important, but they said most would simplify their lifestyles and make better choices, so we may not need all that money we're chasing. I thought that was very profound. You know, again, there's different formulas. There's people who are also working under circumstances. I think money we're saying, I said, you know, I see people that need the money and the lifestyles, but you know, let's help encourage these people to manage that. Any thoughts, guys?
No, I mean, that's exactly right. Like, there's...
That's exactly...
Yeah. There's nothing really to add to that.
Okay, well, how can we... Oh, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is one of the articles you put up gives you 10 signs and symptoms of excessive workplace stress.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not feel all of them, but... muscle tension, headaches are a big one. Stomach problems, definitely a big one. Turning to alcohol or drugs, which I haven't done, thankfully. But problems sleeping and fatigue. And fatigue is the one that was the big one because I would get done at 5 o'clock, and it would take everything I could do to get out and walk the dog. I used to walk him every day, 2 miles a day. And it was all I could do to get around the block without being just completely exhausted. I was exhausted before I left the house, and I could sleep, but I wasn't getting restful sleep. I was still just as tired when I woke up as when I went to bed, and then it starts over again, and it gets into this cycle that becomes the lifestyle. So we really have to be aware of what's really going on here. And I will say that since I'll be leaving the position I'm in right now, working from home, and as soon as I let my boss know that I was going to be leaving, my energy level increased exponentially. And, you know, things that were just such a huge chore, last Wednesday my fence blew down. And I went out there and worked for about 3 hours and got probably 15 minutes work done because I was so tired. But knowing that I'm leaving, I went out there Saturday and worked the whole day like I used to, and completely rebuild it, put in a new gate, and it went like it was supposed to. It just, you know, this is how I used to feel all the time. And so you look back and go, wow, it's affecting me a lot more than I thought it was. I knew it was stressful, and I knew it was having an effect on me, but it was a lot more powerful than I realized. And that's why we have to be so aware of these things.
You know, eventually, too, we can always talk. I think it's a secondary topic that maybe we can explore in another session. But what I see people sometimes stay in these unhealthy situations, and I can even, my husband for a while, I remember some of his career choices, you know, it was in the middle of the recession and, you know, jobs and switching and will I get this salary and what am I going into? But fear kept him in a very, very unhealthy situation. Where sometimes I think when coaching, sometimes people can't see beyond what they're living, you know.
Yes.
With that, not only the switches or changes that some people try to, you know, I think a lot of times in coaching I see a lot of the people taking those you know, some giant leaps, but other people looking to manage and taking a different perspective, we sometimes focus on, again, you said the misery, and we stay in the misery. We give energy to that. Where I want to go, that there are some proactive steps that you can do if you are in a hard formula and you can't right now just say, you know, you really can't find a job. I remember in the recession. But there are steps to really help, like you said, even walking the dog, you know, being able to generate more energy, getting you prepared so you can, you know, make shifts or, you know, even pattern in a healthier way. I found this really awesome. I do think, like, even some of the work stress that I incurred was not having clarify your job description, having your expectations even up front in a job. You know, people tend to worry, am I doing, you know, poor performance, because we don't know. But when you're asking, this is some tips, when you're asking your supervisor for, like, a description of your job duties and responsibilities, that helps actually, may help you manage stress. You know what's expected and what your job, you know, what is your duty so you can perform at that level. I want to try to give some proactive for people that are, you know, some tips to help in tough situations. They also say, you know, if you're in another proactive about your job, if it seems to be affecting your health or if it's high stress, is to, you know, there are times when you can ask for transfers, you know, if you're in a toxic environment. I do find that, you know, that's hard. I know, and there is some coaching I know we do really strongly about. I always say, you know, there's ways of not ingesting a negative environment. You know, if it's starting long-term, it's starting to affect your well-being and health, well, you know, that's important. You know, see if you can take some steps like that. Any other ideas, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the ones that I don't know if anybody ever listed it, but meditate. I think meditate is a great is a great tool to use. If you, I mean, you can't change your job situation. You can, I mean, you can change the way you're looking at it. You can talk to your boss. Obviously, you know, that's, if there's something you can change about the situation, even if you can't change your job, you can try doing that. But to help you kind of cope with whatever comes up, I think doing some kind of meditation every day will help you bring those stress levels down and help you be less reactive to things that happen at work.
And
you know, what you can do no matter what is going on around you, even if you can't always change that.
You know, and also, I mean, I very strongly
really
with the... there's controlling your thoughts, but there's also, I think, the powerful thing about meditation, especially like in situations like that, that just allows you to detach, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to center and self-importance and to tap in and to notice. I mean, that's where I think a lot of times when you quiet and still, you know, that's where you find yourself again. That's where you hear your voice. That's when you can notice your body. It's owning back, you know? I do think it's a very, very powerful tool. Very powerful tool. Thanks for suggesting that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to do at home, but also just even breathing techniques to do when you're at work. Like if you find yourself in the middle of a stressful situation, you can take 3 to 5 minutes to just leave the situation, take a few minutes to breathe, you know, become present, and, you know, detach yourself from the thoughts, which are, you know, the thoughts are what are causing the stress. Oh my God, am I going to get this done? Or is my boss going to yell at me? Or whatever those thoughts are, you can take a few minutes to detach from them, just observe that they're there, and then come back. And, you know, you could be a little bit more grounded to say, okay, let me just deal with the situation without the thoughts. So,
right.
The thoughts make them worse, you know.
Mm-hmm. And in the simplified term too, like I saw on some Cisco Corporation servers, and some people just nature on their break. They went outside and went for a walk around the building. And I was like, oh, that's so great, because that's meditative in its own way. You know, you're breaking, you're getting out, you're getting exercise, you can regroup, and you're owning part of the day, you know, for you within your day.
Yeah.
Very healthy.
Yeah.
Very healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The other thing, too, I mean, there's stress within your control, and then there's others that you just have to let go. I think my husband was very good. He coached me a couple of times. I was like, am I doing this right? He's like, really? Sean, come on. I'm like, and I'm a coach. You know, and I just got a little, you know, some things, like I said, you just have, if they're not in your control, just let it be. You can control it. You do the best you can. You breathe and move forward. I love, too, because some of us, too, some of the overdoers or overachievers, is that delegating responsibility is another way to help manage stress. If you're carrying a long stress load, look at how much that you're trying to do it all and be in control of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, letting go of unnecessary stress in the process will be healthy for you. But yeah, and I think it's also important to, if you guys have any more you want to add?
No, I think the delegation part is, even though we may not be physically doing the work, but we're emotionally doing the work and we're living the work, and we're it never stops spinning, and it's like we're under the stress of having the work done, even though it's not physically ours to do. It's trusting other people and allowing them. Sometimes it feels like you're allowing them to take control of your career because you have to trust them. But at the same time, and overthinkers are, and I don't know, overachievers tend to be overthinkers, I think, in a lot of ways. And even though they're not physically doing the work, they're so involved emotionally that they're just as drained at the end of the day if they had done it themselves, sometimes more so, because they're not sure how it's being done and if it's being done to their standard or to their liking. So just things to watch for.
Right. You know, and it's, some of it, too, is the I have to say, like, work-life balance is huge, you know. See how you know, when you have vacations, take it. I've seen people that rack it up and take, you know, the you know, if they have compensation. But I'm like, you know, taking time off for vacation is healthy. It's restorative. When you're talking about stress again, stress is useful. It can actually motivate you. But prolonged stress, when you don't recover, can deteriorate your well-being. And, you know, that's even a daily reset. You know, are you getting your proper amount of sleep? You know, are you doing work and cutting into your sleep? You know, how long can your body, your body can do that. But long-term, we don't see it. I guess a lot of people say we take it for granted until it's gone. But that's, you know, it's keeping that balance. The health, part of being healthy, of course, is they say four pillars. You know, nutrition, exercise, relaxation, which is what we're talking about, managing our stress, and sleep.
Very important.
Yeah, before when we kind of tap into one of those areas and we're deficient, the integrity of the whole is at jeopardy. So some regular, you know, self-care. I do see how self-importance does get diminished from outside stressors, outside demands. I guess I think in the beginning where we're trying, we said that I think the big scenario is like, okay, you know, is your well-being really? And the final days, we have people that are reflecting back on their life. Sometimes we need to, you know, are we making the best choices at this time in the best interest of my health and for me is really, you know, I think that's what we're trying to come across here.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, guys? So why do you think people I was just going to say, so what do you think?
Okay.
Why do you think people ignore stress?
I don't think people know that they they have a choice.
Exactly.
I think that's
exactly.
It, too. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. And it is the power of choice. I think that went down to my friend. The doctor's like, what are you going to do about it? I mean, it's not necessarily, I mean, we gave you big and small, but it's not necessarily, you know, quitting your job, but everything is a series of choices. You do have the power, whether you're choosing to listen to your body, if you're choosing to eat well, if you're choosing to get stressed about a certain situation which is out of your control. They do say, you know, having a sense of control and purpose over your work does help. If you find yourself here in, you know, those kind of situations where you're not, understand your body's under stress and you may have to find other ways of, you know, self-care and managing to recover from that. So, I guess we'll leave it at that. But, again, simple ways. Oh, you know, another thing, too, they were saying at work, too, just, you know, keeping a sense of humor, which is huge, I think, shedding. I think humor is the spice of life that sometimes can shift energy like that. You know, are we connecting? Are we looking at little opportunities in the day to shed stress?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to do it. It has to be, you have to be mindful of what you're doing. You know, if we go through life on automatic pilot, like, you know, August was saying, like, you're just not paying attention. And and then it just, all of a sudden, before you know it, you're really sick because you haven't been paying attention. So, you know, pay attention because your body will be telling you and that you're stressed.
I knock, knock, or even I take blood pressures and I'm like, okay, I know you can tell me, and I'm like, your blood pressure is telling me something.
Exactly.
You're pulling your back out. Okay, let's look at this.
I know.
And we don't want.
Exactly.
And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times we don't pay attention, like I said in the beginning, until our health deteriorates. And then you'll realize just how much freedom of choice you had prior. So, if you want to explore this more, I'm one-on-one coaching. Obviously, we're doing a general talk here, but if you ever want to explore, do a little deeper, feel free to reach out to any of us at wnylifecoaching.com. Well, thank you guys for being here. It's so great to have us all together.
Thank you. I know.
Yes, we
do. All right. Okay, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.